Roy, too, was dismayed. If Roy had realized that Eisner was the alternative, he might well have accepted the offer to be the host. "You have to learn how to relax," he told him. "I'm trying, but it's not as easy as it looks," Eisner said. Eisner stubbornly persisted in the face of almost unanimous criticism. Walt hadn't been all that smooth either, he reasoned. When he told Katzenberg during a flight on the corporate jet that he'd made a final decision to host the show, Katzenberg thought he finally understood. Eisner saw himself as Walt's heir. 3. Just days after assuming his post at Disney, Eisner had gotten a call from legendary international creative management agent Sam Cohen in New York. Cohen represented director Paul Mazursky, who'd made the critically acclaimed and modestly profitable Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice and An Unmarried Woman. He had rewritten a French comedy about a bum who moves in and takes over the lives of a wealthy couple after they save him from drowning in their swimming pool. Translated to Southern California, the script became Down and Out in Beverly Hills, and the story appealed immediately to Eisner, a romantic comedy with a populist spin that could be made on a budget, even though Universal had had the rights to the script and had passed on the project. In his quest for talent at bargain prices, Eisner had the idea to resurrect careers that had fallen into eclipse, in this case, Richard Dreyfuss and Bette Midler. Dreyfuss was just emerging from drug rehabilitation a few years after winning an Oscar for The Goodbye Girl, and Midler's The Rose had been nominated for 4 Academy Awards, but her career had slowed in years since. Eisner had loved Midler ever since seeing her legendary act at the Continental Baths during the 1960s, while he was scouting for new talent at ABC. He thought she needed to get away from the serious, overblown musicals she'd been making. A non-singing comic role would be perfect. It fell to Katzenberg to get the movie made on a budget. He signed Dreyfuss and Midler for $600,000 each with no profit participation. "Your client's career is in the fucking toilet," he bluntly told Midler's agent, added Nick Nolte to the cast as the bum, and the final tab was a modest $14 million. Eisner and Katzenberg were acutely aware that as the first live-action feature film to be released under new management, Down and Out was freighted with symbolic importance, sending an important message to the creative community, moviegoers, and Wall Street. Released under the Touchstone label created by Ron Miller, it set new standards for raunchy language and sex in a Disney-produced film and garnered an R rating. Eisner probably would have cut some of the language and sex had he still been at Paramount, but he wanted to give a director of Mazursky's caliber free rein, in part to overcome the reputation for meddling he'd acquired at Paramount, and because he wanted to mitigate Disney's stodgy image. Still, as he sat through a screening of the film with Roy and Patty, every profanity leaped out, and the relatively brief sex scenes seemed interminable. He found himself drenched with perspiration, apprehensive about their reactions. When the film ended, Eisner turned to Patty. "Well, how do you like your new guys?" he asked, referring to himself and Wells.
"I love it. We're in business again," she said.
Roy didn't venture an opinion. Down and Out in Beverly Hills opened in January 1986, the first major release of the Eisner-Wells-Katzenberg regime. Audiences loved it, as did most critics.